Welcome to the Plan and Zone meeting of May 15th. Let's have our roll call.
Bennett?
Here.
Hart? Hatler?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Rafferty? Stoltenberg?
Here.
Sundland?
Okay, the next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes, and I would like to request a change to the minutes. As they were submitted to us, it says the meeting was called to order by Roy, and he was not here last week, so Lisa and I talked about that, and she'll make that change. Does anybody else have any other changes to the minutes?
I move we approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great, thank you. All right, a brief review of the commission procedures. The Plan and Zone Commission is a recommending body. We are only a recommending body. City Council makes final decisions on the matters that come before us. Our meetings are held the third Wednesday of every month, right here. And we typically consider rezoning requests, preliminary and final plats, site development, landscape plans, and planned unit development plans. So that is what we're here to do, and we have a number of things to discuss tonight. So Greg, we'll have you start with case 13-021, the 2838 State Street Commercial to General Industrial rezoning.
Madam Chairwoman, the site in question is right along State Street and then 29th Street. It's this lot here where Brace Marine used to keep their boats. Land use amendment is being requested from commercial to general industrial. It involves this portion here of the Duggleby subdivision, lots 1, 2, and 3. It's this area right here, which is commercial directly south. We do have general industrial, which would facilitate a change to the zoning I-2, which was what we see here. And then we have C-3 throughout most of these red areas. This area over here, though, is C-2, where you foster family music. What the petitioner would like to do is go to a type of zoning, I-2, that would facilitate the use of manufacturing specialized automobile parts from this locale. Right now, his son has a specialized retail operation here, and this gives you an idea of some of the uses around this area right now. This is the petitioner's proposed lot right here. We've got similar uses with a cement contractor here that you would find in I-2, Brace Marine, which you find equipment and trailer sales in an I-2 district. You find specialized selling of automobile parts here with this Dubil operation, which is something you find in I-2. You also find that VFW Hall Meeting Hall is also included in an I-2 district. You have Animal Pound and Shelter over here. And I'm going to move the graphic up so you can see more of the businesses. Majority of these businesses are all zoned C-3. The only exceptions of what are not, it would almost be easier to show you what is not, an I-2 type use would be this automobile repair shop just off of State, and then a photography studio here. Almost all of these other businesses that are run up 29th Street have some type of industrial function, and it's the same type of description that would be found under I-2 zoning. There's an exception of an R-2 residence here in this area that was zoned R-4 by this body, I believe, about 3 years ago, that are the only residential in the area. The remaining functions here are almost all that would be found under an I-2 definition. So in looking at that, and also looking at the fact that the petitioner is being displaced by the I-74 bridge project, staff would make a recommendation for approval for both the land use amendment and then the rezoning. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
I could just clarify, what part of the business
does he need this zoning for? Is he?
It would be for the manufacturing of the specialized automobile parts. That's what he has right now off of 11th Street, and that's in a C3 district. Nick has been there. Mr. DeBille's been there for a number of years, and he would want to locate that just so this is adjacent to State and just due south of the retail phase right here.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address us? I think I neglected to say at the beginning of the meeting, if you do have a comment you'd like to make, we ask that you move to the podium at the back of the room. There's a microphone back there, and that helps us pick up your comments.
I mean, what we're moving is just because of the I-74 bridge, otherwise we have to where we're at. But, you know, like Dan said, like I say, we don't make that much. There's no noise. You wouldn't know nothing's going on. And so it's pretty, like I say, I want to build right behind it there.
How many employees do you have?
Just me and my brother.
Two employees. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have two cases to consider. 13021 is the land use, and 13022 is the rezoning. We need to consider those separately. So I would entertain some motions.
Madam Chairwoman, I move that we approve case 13021. That is the, is that the land use?
Huh?
Yeah, that's the land use amendment, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, opposed, same sign? All right, good. So now, Kirk, 13022.
Chairwoman, I move that we approve case 13022, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that also.
All right. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign? All right. So both of those cases have been approved. Thank you. Okay. So the next case involves actually three separate cases. Am I skipping one? No. No, we're, yeah. Yeah, so we'll have to discuss and consider those separately, but Greg, if you can just kind of walk us through the whole progression of what we're looking at here.
Madam Chairwoman, what we have is a request for a land use amendment, a rezoning, and also a replat of this area right here. And this is Middle Road. This is Tanglefoot Lane right here. This is Tanglewood Road up here. And Tanglewood Hills Drive now goes through this area right here, which has been improved. The area in question is partially office transitional and then partially traditional residential. Petitioner would like to go from the traditional residential to the office transitional, where he already has a parcel right here that is already zoned C5. He wants to get the remaining portion area here zoned to A2. And now Tanglewood Hills Drive goes through here, so it sort of cuts off this remainder here, this two-lot area from the remaining residential in this area. I might as well go directly to the plat in order to demonstrate the lots that are in question here are a portion of these two lots here that are going to be incorporated. They are part of Tanglewood Hills First Edition, lots 10 and lot 11. And then we have lot 1 of Tanglewood Terrace, which is the other remainder. There's also right-of-way included in here and a portion of right-of-way down here that are part of the petitioner's final plat that's being considered, and this is the final plat right here. Again, you see the portions of lots 10 and 11 of Tanglewood Hills First Edition, the right-of-way that has been deeded to the petitioner, and a portion of the right-of-way out here on Middle Road, also deeded. Staff in reviewing this, looking at the land use amendment and also the the rezoning request, and then the plat would recommend approval. Also want to note, too, that at such time a site plan does occur on this site, that we will evaluate the need for detention area for stormwater detention. And we make a recommendation for approval on all three motions. I would ask, are there any questions?
Can I restate what I heard you tell us to make sure that I'm understanding it? When we're all through with this, we're going to have one parcel, and it will all be zoned the same.
Yes, once the city council deliberates and then approves the zoning and the land use amendment. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by doing this, we've addressed, I guess I refer to it as the crumbs left over from all of this land that's switched hands in that area.
The remnants of what's remaining, yes, have been combined into one.
And we're not dealing with anything to do with the usage or what's going to happen there. We're just getting it all pulled together into one parcel.
At some point, the petitioner would like to build an office structure there. We haven't gotten any definitive plans on that yet, but the C5 zoning would be the limiting element.
Right. Okay. All right. Any questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Just to recap, the applicant was left with three remnants due to the Tanglefoot Road project. He wished to combine those into one lot. We don't like different zoning designations on one lot, so that's why we're doing all of these things together, just to try and clean this all up and let him have a developable piece of property going forward.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense. And you said it much better than I did. Thank you, Bill. All right. Questions? So obviously, Greg and Bill both said it very well. There's no questions. Anyone in the audience that has questions or would like to address us regarding any of these three cases? Okay. Well, we're going to take them one at a time. So first we have the land use amendment. Anyone like to propose a motion?
I move that we approve case number 13-025, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All the same sign? Okay. So the land use amendment is changed. Now the rezoning. This is case 13-026.
I move that we approve case 13-026, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Same sign for opposed. All right, so the rezoning is approved. And the final plat.
All right, I move that we approve case number 13-027, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Thank you very much. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign? All right. Thank you. All right. Next we have case 13-023, Copper Ridge, third edition, final plat. Greg?
Madam Chairwoman, the approach here is off of Devil's Glen Road, and you can enter in your current existing street. You have Forest Grove Drive up here as the other cross street, essentially. This is the preliminary plat, which has already been approved, showing three cul-de-sacs and showing the outline of the area included. There's also been additional replat here of Outlot A, and Lake View Drive effectively comes in. You got Blackberry Lane going this direction, and then you have your Lakeview Court area here, which cuts off approximately right at lot 24 and lot 14. Staff in reviewing this 26 lot subdivision recommends approval, and I would ask her any questions.
Is Outlot A the only change between the preliminary plat and the final plat?
I believe it is, and because of that, it necessitated posting of signs and being considered as somewhat of a replat.
Okay, thank you.
Is the only access to the subdivision from Devil's Glen Road?
That's correct. That's true also for this, except for the area below. At some point, there will be access here, too, and that will be stubbed out eventually out to that direction.
Any other questions? Anyone in the audience? Okay, then I think we're ready for a motion.
Madam Chairman, I would move that we approve case number 13023, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. All right. The next case is 13-024. It's a final plat for Middle Road Plaza. Greg?
Madam Chairwoman, this site can be approached by coming up Middle Road. It's the current site for the existing hotel. You've got I-74 here, Lincoln Road here, Kimberly Road here. This is the existing plat, which is once known as the Holiday Inn First Edition. And the setback on this one will be changed. At one time, this was established with a greater setback, no doubt due to the potential for right-of-way acquisition. Current plat, as proposed, shows two lots for two individual businesses and then this lot three for the hotel. This is the overlay showing the current conditions that are on the lot, showing the existing building outline structure and how it encompasses all three lots. And this is the new structure for the two separate buildings out front and then the hotel here. I'd like to show some overheads, too, of what one might expect. These are the black and whites, and I figured you probably want to see the better version. That's looking from the northeast, essentially. And this one's the south or the northwest view, this one here. So you can, I guess, interpolate on your own what they look like when they're both in color. But staff in reviewing this plat would recommend approval. We'll have further evaluation as well when we come to the site plan about other factors regarding how these structures will be planned out. And we recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Greg, just a point of clarification. I don't believe you showed on the screen, but one of the attachments we had was attachment F.
Yes, this has been modified to some extent and to put the buildings sort of like this without this building being in the middle.
Right.
And then the hotel pretty much the same outline on lot three.
Sure.
So these each have their own separate lot now.
Yeah, that makes more sense. All right. Thank you. Questions?
You mentioned something about the setbacks. Could you repeat that?
The setback at one time was 65 feet here. And when that plat was done, I believe it was about 1983, it was done in the 80s, and the width for the right-of-way acquisition for Middle Road may not have been what was necessary at the time. So what sometimes these developers will do is they'll incorporate an additional setback area here. This is not required by code, 65 feet. It's 20 feet that's required, so that for any potential right-of-way acquisition, let's say they took this amount here of 35 feet, they would then have a setback remaining here of 30 feet. So the idea is you already incorporate the building setback in here so that if the acquisition does occur, you can have up to 45 feet of acquisition for additional right-of-way. That's why that was in the older plat.
Thank you.
Greg, I have one other question. I'm presuming that this is the first step in a series of steps that will make this project possible. We have So if the plat goes through and we create three lots, but then the project doesn't go through, then you have one building on three lots.
We would have that as a condition. I think we discussed that at the staff level, that the plat, in order for that to be affected and to permit it to be recorded, you would have to have the actual building process taking place.
Actually, if I may, we got the condition in there. It's not going to go to council until we know we have a definite deal for the hotel.
Okay. So at this point, our recommendation would move it forward, but it wouldn't go any further until those details were. Okay, great. Other questions? Anyone in the audience? No? All right. Well, it looks like an awesome project. I'd be happy to entertain a motion.
Madam Chairwoman, I move that we approve case 13024, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. All right. I think the final item on the agenda is an update on the Trails Corridor study.
Well, Pat Lynch and Rick McDaniels will be presenting this item before you tonight.
Madam Chairwoman, while they're coming up, I'm going to abstain from discussion voting on this.
All right, thank you.
Let's load it up here. This is not the presentation.
We started that.
Yeah, from the beginning.
From the beginning?
Right.
Over
there.
Okay.
Go.
It's cut off on the screen. There we go.
There we go. Okay, I'm Rick McDaniel. This is Pat Lynch with Scheib Hattery. We performed a trail corridor study for the city of Bettendorf and with the city of Bettendorf. And you run a pretty tidy ship here, I can tell, so we're going to keep this brief tonight because your time is precious, we know, and valuable. And so we'll give you a quick overview of how we, the process with the study and how we got through it. So we really enjoyed working on this project. We're thankful that we got the team with Bettendorf and work on something that's so important and unique, actually, as a study. And so we enjoyed that. And being an avid cyclist, I don't want to speak for Pat, but did we enjoy this? I mean, this was very unique, and it was very promising for the future for Bettendorf. So we enjoyed ourselves totally. Being an avid cyclist, I too really enjoyed the ins and outs and the particulars on planning for something of this magnitude. And the city, I was very pleased with the many possibilities this study offers Bettendorf, especially this being a catalyst for transportation alternatives for the city of Bettendorf and for its residents and for your visitors that are going to come to the city. We began the study back in July of 2012. We have over 1,500 man hours, and I say we as a group, being the team. We have a Bettendorf team consisting of Bill Connors, Steve Grimes, Decker Plain, Brian Schmidt, Denny Schneider, and Steve Van Dyke, and then the Scheib Hattery team. And we actually studied over 65 miles of corridor. And on January 28th, we held an open house for the public to come, and we had 63 residents that came, and 19 gave comments, which were pretty supportive of the process and what we've done. Okay, we utilized the federal functional classification mapping to determine the corridors that were classified as arterial and collectors within the Bettendorf. Thus, we made this part of the scope of what we were to study. There were a few streets that we added just because it made sense because of the connectors to some other arterials or collectors. Pat, you could probably help me out. Some of those streets were probably like 29th?
Correct. 26th Street heading up the hill on the west side, 29th Street connecting Greenbrier connected a couple neighborhoods together, so those were added. Portions were taken out of the study. Those are the yellow that you see in there. Those portions already had trails either planned or under construction or already in.
But for the most part, this does cover the majority of the arterial collectors that were to be studied. We broke the roadway system into 30 corridors. As you can see, it goes from 6th Street to Wells Ferry. We have a couple that say unnamed east-west and unnamed north-south. These were located in the northeast section of town, and these were extensions that are planned for the future that showed up on our traffic development strategy. Or traffic transportation development strategy, sorry, and they were planned for. So there were some future connector extensions that we added to the plan or the study, such as Hopewell and Devil's Glen Road, that are basically through open fields at this point. So we've actually analyzed that too and looked for the future connector there. Each of the 30 corridors then were segmented into, dependent upon the location, to the major intersections, or it would be based on traffic volume or something as far as like pavement types. We broke that into segments. So we ended up with 110 segments representing the 30 corridors. We created base maps. As you can see that it's on the screen right now, the base maps were created utilizing the Scott County GIS system. And we stationed and baselined each segment of every roadway, all 65 miles, and we created a table at the bottom of it. We use this for field reconnaissance. Pat's going to go into that a little bit more, but basically we took it out in the field as a checklist of things that we were going to analyze and look for while we're out there. So I'm going to turn it over to Pat real quick here. He's going to talk about the process and the recommendations that came up with.
As Rick said, we broke all the corridors up into segments. Each segment was reviewed for multiple items. Physical barriers, that would be your severe slopes, buildings close to the road, something that is physically blocking you from installing a bicycle facility along that corridor. Potential obstacles, those would be your utilities, a power pole, a hydrant, driveways are an obstacle, landscaping that's in the right of way, that is a potential obstacle as well. Traffic volumes, we analyzed traffic volumes based off of the Iowa DOT and bi-state traffic counts that were provided for these corridors. Functional classifications, where that comes in is functional classifications determine what types of grants you can get, grant funding you can get in the future for trails along certain corridors. Certain grants state that they will only allow funding down to a certain collector or a certain arterial. So we placed the functional classification in the study as well. Future land use. We wanted to make sure that the bicycle facility that was recommended for that area fit that future land use. The types of pavement were analyzed as well. For example, you can't recommend a bike lane for a gravel road. You can't paint the striping on the road itself. So the types of pavement were taken into consideration. Connectivity. How the corridor connects to the rest of the city, what it connects to. We wanted to make sure residential connected to business, residential connected to schools, business connected to commercial, and so on and so forth. We also wanted to make sure that the system connected to the surrounding community. That's the map you see in the bottom left. It's the bi-state trails map for the Quad City area. We also wanted to make sure that the national trail systems allowed for connections to your businesses in town, just in case you did have tourists traveling along these national trail systems, that would make it easy for them to navigate through the city on their bicycles. The one in the middle on the bottom you see is the Mississippi River Trail, and the one on the right is the
American Discovery Trail.
And they both pass right through the Quad Cities. So,
Pat, if I could, there's a couple things I wanted to note on there, too. Pat did allude to the fact that, or he didn't allude to, he said that we did not do a traffic study, which, in fact, we took the traffic volumes off a bi-state map that had the traffic volume. So we did not do a traffic study and do traffic counts or anything like that. I wanted to kind of reiterate that. And then also for the types of pavement, we also looked at the condition. It may be concrete, but the condition may be very, very poor. We made those as we noted those as we went along with the 65 miles.
Each segment was compiled, all the information that we gathered was compiled into an inventory data sheet for each segment. The top portion of the inventory data sheet, you'll find all the information that we compiled. For example, if it had curb or gutter or shoulders, if it had storm sewer or ditches, it listed how many bus stops were along that corridor. We noted how many driveways, how many power poles, how many utilities were in the right of way, and which side they were on. The second section you see, the evaluation section, we evaluated the segment benefits, neighborhood accessibility, residential density, and the convenient connections of each area. So each inventory data sheet will have that on there. And then we also placed the recommendations on the inventory data sheet as well, sort of tabulizing everything that into one sheet for you. At the bottom of the sheet, you'll find the engineer's opinion of probable cost for the recommended improvements. This is a budgetary number, so it's going to be a high number, but they are based on $2013 dollars.
Yeah, well, I would just say that I wouldn't necessarily say they're going to be high numbers, but they will be like a high level look at the numbers for like CIP planning, things like that.
Four types of facilities were considered during our study, four different recommendation types. Share the road, which is where the bicyclist shares the lane with the vehicles. There's no set designation line designating which cyclist or a vehicle uses the lane. They both use the lane. There's an example on the right there. You can either sign a share the road or you can paint a sharo in the lane, but both cyclists and vehicles use that lane. There are bike lanes where there's an actual designated area painted on the roadway for the cyclists and is solely for the cyclists. You have a separated trail which is separated from the roadway with a boulevard. And it's essentially a widened sidewalk to allow for pedestrians and cyclists to utilize the facility. Or you could have combined bike lanes and separated trails, and you already have an example of that is Tanglefoot Lane. Tanglefoot has both combined bike lanes and separated trails.
Sorry, Pat, I don't mean to keep your presentation part, but the share of the road condition in Iowa by law is the fact that you can utilize the lane as share of the road anyhow. But the designation that we have, that's why we keep calling it designated share of the road, is that we designated that area to be signed and or sharrowed with a paint symbol on the pavement to actually designate that. Because of this being arterials and collectors, it's got higher traffic volumes. And so therefore, share the road takes on a different meaning in the fact that we're trying to remind motorists that you're sharing the road.
We took in designing or in recommending these four facilities, we took into account four different rider types. Type one is a strong, fearless rider. He's the rider that believes he's traffic. He's a part of traffic. He or she is going to ride out in traffic and has no fear whatsoever. Those people you really don't design for. They're going to be out there anyway. Type two, an enthused but confident rider, is a rider that they prefer a bicycle facility, but they will still ride in traffic if they have to. They enjoy cycling enough or a commuter, but they're a little cautious riding in traffic on a non-designated route. Your type three rider is interested but concerned. They're the type of rider that they would rather be on a separated trail, but would use a facility that's in the street, i.e. a bike lane or a share the road if they absolutely have to, but they'd rather not. And then you have the type four rider who will only use the separated trails and will not go out in traffic whatsoever. So that would be more of your families and beginner cyclists. This all the recommendations were passed through a steering committee, as Rick mentioned, with from the engineering, public works, planning, parks and recreation, economic development, city administrator, and the SHIB team. They were fine-tuned and presented to the public. We had two public meetings, one open house, as Rick mentioned, 63 people showed with 19 comments, which are included in the study, in the appendix of the study. We also met with the Bicycle Club representatives to get their opinion of the study and get their opinions on what they see trend-wise and what they recommend.
And I really, can't believe that Bareback. You guys know who Bareback is? He rides without a seat.
Yeah.
You guys know him? I'm really surprised he's not here tonight because it has to do with bicycles. But anyhow, I thought I'd throw that in there. I didn't know if you saw him riding around town standing up. So.
After the meetings were held and all the recommendations were fine-tuned, we wrote up summary sheets for each segment. Each summary sheet you'll find at the top existing conditions, an explanation verbally explaining the existing conditions of the corridor, the segment. We also put in photos of that segment as of July of last year. We put a verbal recommendation portion at the bottom explaining the recommendation for that segment as well. Each segment in the study will have a sheet showing a segment map, a location map showing where that segment is located along that corridor. And at the bottom, you see an isometric section depicting the recommendation that you'll find in the summary and in the inventory data sheet. After all of the segments were mapped and all the recommendations were in, we created an overall map to make sure that we address the connectivity with the surrounding communities and throughout the city of Bettendorf. As you can see, Rick alluded to some of the east-west and north-south unnamed arterials. One of them is located here, and another is located here. Those are roads that aren't in right now. How do you clear that out? There we go. Those aren't in right now. Also, what you can see that Devil's Glen extends up through Interstate 80 north to beyond the city limits, and there's a few streets in here that are extended that way. Those were analyzed as well as future development, so that the planning goes through future development as well. We were also asked to make recommendations on how bicycle lanes interact with intersections, vehicular intersections. After reviewing the information out there, discussing it with the DOT, and having discussions with the bicycle clubs and the steering committee, it was decided that each intersection is its own entity and needs to be designed that way. There is no cookie cutter recommendation you can make for all intersections. Each intersection is unique. So what we recommend is utilizing the AASHTO design guidelines for bicycle facilities to address each intersection in its own right as that entity or as that facility is developed. We were also asked to make a sidewalk recommendation for future developments. What we recommend is a 6-foot sidewalk for all designated share the road facilities. So every facility that's listed in the corridor study as a share the road facility would get a 6-foot sidewalk on either side. And then 5-foot sidewalks for all other locations. The reason for the 6-foot sidewalk on the share the road is because of the type 3 and 4 riders. They're the ones that don't really want to be in the road. They'd rather be off on the side. They're really in the downtown areas. They're really not going to want to ride on a busy street with heavy vehicle traffic. So what we recommended the widened sidewalks to allow for a safer passage between the cyclists and the pedestrians. And then the 5-foot sidewalk in all other locations, the proposed right-of-way accessibility guidelines that will be adopted later this year by the DOT recommend a 5-foot bump out every 200 feet for all future sidewalks. So this takes care of that recommendation. It makes it a lot cleaner sidewalk, and we analyzed the cost difference, and it'd be about $1,000 for every 200 feet of sidewalk, $1,000 difference approximately. So it didn't add a whole lot of cost to any project, and it makes it a lot cleaner sidewalk. And you go along with the ProWag guidelines then.
Pat did a good job of briefing you through the process and the recommendations. There are different ways to use this report. It's a 350-page appendix that goes with this report. There's an executive summary, and there's a 350-page appendix that goes along with it. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at that. It's been online on your website. We wanted to basically the findings and the recommendations, there's different ways to use this report and the appendix. One is pictorially, like we've shown you with some of the illustrations on what a roadway looks like in isometric view or whatnot. Tabular form, which was the inventory data sheet. We also have the written words that we use to kind of give the recommendation. And then there's also the summary map. So there's different places to find the answers that you would be looking for. And it would be utilized in the appendix. I guess the takeaway from it is that remember that each segment has the following. It has a table showing the inventory data sheet. It has existing conditions, evaluation, recommendation, and costs all in that inventory data sheet. And then there's also the segment map with the isometric that gives the recommendation. You getting all this? A lot of ways to get it, but it's all in there and it corresponds with one another. So that's as much as I'll say about that takeaway. It is evident that many things that Bettendorf does that you guys take pride in wanting to be a premier city, and I think that this takes you above and beyond that point. I think this is something that it's a real big deal, and it's real progressive, and it's very future, looking to the future, looking forward thinking, I guess, if you will. And this report is it's in planning for bicycle transportation as an alternative mode. And that's what's coming. So you are definitely premier in that regard. And being engineers, we work a lot with the municipalities, and this was exciting for us. Did I already say that we were excited about this? We enjoyed doing this. And
we're going to pay you.
Yeah, I got to say that. But we were really tickled to work with the city and to see that they wanted to go this route and look to the future for these types of things. So. This will aid in acquiring future funding for different projects, and it'll prove to be a great return on the investment. So with that, that's a lot being said, but we'll just open it up to questions.
Do you have a determination as to what percentage of what you've mapped out here or studied is actually already configured for one of the different bicycle uses that you're talking about?
Those
percentage of the roadway, is it half of the city? Is it less than half? Where are we at on that? Do you know,
Pat?
We have not analyzed it that way. We did not go through and analyze which ones were already there and compared to the total amount. No,
okay.
We don't have a percentage number. And like I said, certain segments like Middle Road, the segments that already have a bike trail in and the one that's being constructed now weren't analyzed as part of that 65 miles. So
would it make sense from Bettendorf's perspective when we're considering or when the staff is considering new subdivisions that are going in, new plats, that right away we look at how to fit those into the plan so that we're not going back later?
Yes, indeed. That is exactly what the tool, that would be the why this is a tool that can be used for things exactly like that.
Definitely.
I'm curious about the downtown area. The study that you've done is based on the current downtown area.
We did not analyze the area around the I-74 corridor.
Okay.
That is being discussed with the DOT and in separate committees. So we, instead of recommending something for that area that wasn't going to be there in the future, we
right.
we eliminated that from the
okay,
study.
Okay, so that's just not part
so
of
there's
it.
A few gaps in it, just
right.
little tiny
right.
gaps, and that's downtown there, yes.
Okay, just kind of in parallel with Jeff's question, the sidewalk recommendations, is there any way to quantify what level of change that would involve? Are you just talking about, does this mean we're creating new sidewalks, we're replacing sidewalks?
This would be for future development and any redevelopment.
Okay, so anything that's added,
right.
not retrofit right.
no.
what's currently there.
From what I understand with the new PROAG guidelines, it's any reconstruction, anytime you do a modification or if mm-hmm. it's a new development.
Okay, so moving forward,
correct.
This is what's recommended.
Correct.
All right.
One more question. Assuming they actually do ever build a bridge from Bettendorf to Moline, which is a big assumption in
for
my
opinion.
For your
grandchildren?
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's about right.
Do you know, is the plan for that structure to include a pedestrian or bike?
At this point,
correct.
Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm. At this
okay.
point, yes.
Well, Bill, what would you recommend?
This is a very unique project, and I think our consultants did an excellent job with it. If you get into the report, and I think it was touted that it's some 350 pages long, as you look at each corridor, you can look at all of the different aspects that were taken into consideration. And I think you're all aware that some of the existing trails we've put in along Devil's Glen Road and especially along Middle Road, there was a lot of back and forth from a lot of people as to where these trails should be. So we thought it was a good idea to do this comprehensive plan, put it out there, have Planning and Zoning Commission review it, and when you're comfortable, make your recommendation to City Council and again have the council adopt it. So everybody knows from going forward
mm-hmm.
where these trails are contemplated. So again, I think our consultants did a great job.
So obviously this meeting is an opportunity for public input.
Yes.
And there would be future opportunities for public input at council meetings.
That's correct.
All right. Well, I'm going to be honest. I received the information about this on Friday, and I did learn a lot from your presentation, but I have not reviewed the detailed document. And I guess I would entertain a discussion with the commission members as to whether you feel, or maybe you've already had an opportunity to review it in depth. Do you feel that you're prepared to make a recommendation, or would you like more time to review the document in more detail?
Can we make a recommendation if I'm abstaining? Do we have a quorum?
Yes. We have four people.
I also have not looked at the report, 350-page report. I do appreciate the presentation, but I would feel more comfortable tabling this
right.
for the others that aren't here even mm-hmm. to take a look at it.
So what I feel very well versed in is the process you used, the depth and the detail of the study. But I haven't had a chance to look at the map or to understand really what the result is or where this is going, both figuratively and literally.
There is a link located on the City of Bettendorf's website on the front page there mm-hmm. for the trail study. So,
mm-hmm. Bill, are we causing a significant delay if we allow a month until next month's meeting for people to review this?
Not at all.
Okay.
Actually, we are also going to have a presentation at the next committee of the whole meeting for the City Council, and that is just for them to kind of be introduced to the
mm-hmm.
the document and the process.
Okay, so then that gives everybody the opportunity to take some time and review it. All right,
yes.
Do we need to vote on that?
I would think you just vote on whether to table it till the next meeting.
Okay.
For a decision.
Okay, so on the agenda, we do have a case number for the Trails Corridor Study. So I would entertain a motion.
With regard to case number 13028, I would move that we table consideration of the final citywide Trails Corridor Study from 1 month to allow the members of the commission and the others that aren't here to adequately review it.
Okay.
Second.
All right. All in favor of that motion?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? All right. Lisa, could I ask a favor of you that perhaps you would send an email out to all the commissioners indicating that we made this decision and reminding the people that weren't here of what we've decided and that they would have the opportunity to look at this so that the Friday before the next meeting they don't get the last minute notice. That I think would be helpful to everybody. Okay, commission update?
Subsequent to your last meeting, City Council considered and approved the site plan for 1109 Terrace Park Drive, RIA Credit Union. They approved the preliminary plat of Copper Ridge Third Edition. Did not take the preliminary plat for Century Heights Roman numeral 3 forward because we wanted to let all three readings of the rezoning take place first. So Century Heights 3 preliminary plat is on the next City Council agenda. And I think there have been discussions, and I think we're making progress on the alternate route into that subdivision. The first and second readings of the conditional rezoning of 18th and 53rd, which required the supermajority at the council level, both the first and second readings passed 6-1. So the final reading will be at the next council meeting.
Great.
Okay, that's all I have.
All right, thank you. All right, I believe we're adjourned then.